All right. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Yes. Okay, good, good. What I've done is I completely rebooted the computer. So hopefully this will work, but I will try to keep my eye on the comments so you guys can let me know if this isn't working. I will need to know that. I only heard the end part of Cheryl's teaching. I was upstairs talking with Mary Beth. She just left about 10 minutes ago. Kind of wish I'd heard the whole thing. It sounds like it was probably pretty good, Cheryl. Maybe I'll get to listen to that tomorrow. I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, because you know what assume means. They say it means make an ass out of you and me. But I'm assuming, based on what I heard at the end, that you were talking a little bit about, or maybe for the full hour, I don't know, about things like what happened in Newtown this week. Is that correct? Is that what Cheryl was talking about? Yeah. Yeah, I know it's on everyone's minds. I mean, and I had thought that I would probably share a little bit about that too. We'll probably also get to the seven steps, which is why we are here. But I will probably also talk about, at least from my perspective, the Newtown event. So I hope you all don't mind that. Somebody says they came in here to get away from the news. Well, hopefully this will be a little different than the news. I'm going to start by playing a song. This is a song that I posted yesterday. This song is actually, when I posted this yesterday on my wall, I dedicated this to everyone who has lost someone. And to be honest, I was intending to post this song anyway. I have a friend, a young friend, who 2 years ago lost her mother during the Christmas season to cancer. She's Jasmine's age, so she was 13 when she lost her mother. I have a friend who just recently lost her husband right around Thanksgiving. I lost my aunt 2 days ago, 3 days ago now. I lost my aunt 3 days ago. My friend Jacqueline, who lives here in Pueblo, she lost her sister Friday morning. And I happened to hear this song for the first time this year. In fact, I think it's a new song written by Scotty McCreery. Some of you guys may know him. He won American Idol a year or two ago. Real cute kid, real deep country voice. And he wrote this song because he lost his grandpa. And so it's a song about, you know, losing people, especially around the holiday season. And it's really just a lovely, lovely song. Okay, now I'm hearing that Adele's aunt died yesterday. So, you know, it's funny because, you know, death, the appearance of death happens all of the time. But when it happens during the holiday season, sometimes it's a little extra difficult for some people. And then, you know, so I was planning to post this song anyway. But then, of course, what happened Friday in Newtown, Connecticut, you know, with so many people losing children right before Christmas. We know that that's extremely difficult for these people, extremely difficult. As you know, they had just dropped their children off to school about 20 minutes prior to this event happening. You know, they said their good morning hugs and have a good day and drop their kid off, and they were on their way to work or whatever they do when this happened. And we know that that was extremely difficult. So that just seemed to give one more reason to post the song that I was already going to post yesterday or Friday. No, yesterday. It was yesterday. So here we go. Here's a great song by Scotty McCreery, and this is dedicated to everyone who has lost anyone, especially if you seem to have lost someone during the holiday season. So let's listen to this gorgeous song first, and then we'll go from there.
December hasn't changed. This town looks the same. They still light that tree in the city square. There's red, white, and green shining snow, following them on the streets of gold. Are the mansions all covered in white? Are you singing with angels, silent night? I wonder what Christmas in heaven.
I was playing that from my Facebook page. You know how Facebook randomly changes your friends around, or at least it does for me. So when I look at my Facebook page, there are different friends looking back. One of the friends that was looking back at me while we were just now listening was Eric Archbold, and he lost his mother recently as well. So it was kind of nice to be able to sit here and look at Eric, and actually his profile picture right now is him and his mother. To look at them while we listen to that song. Now, the interesting thing about that song, of course, is that song is imagining, you know, the traditional heaven of the Bible, you know, you know, the mansions and the roads of gold, and, you know, Jesus is up there. And most of us, we don't have that type of imagination. But, you know, the song is still quite symbolic, and that the song is really asking, you know, I wonder what your experience is. You know, you, whom I loved, who was in this experience of earth, in this experience of the world with me. We shared a similar experience. And now you're not here. And I wonder what that's like. And that's really what the song says. And the truth is, many of us have our beliefs about death. But we really don't know what that experience is. So I think it's a really valid song. You know, it's just saying, I wonder what your experience is like. It does seem like there's been a lot of death lately, at least here from our perspective. In fact, Jasmine even said, I think even before the Newtown event happened, she said something like, Mom, why is everybody dying? And certainly we've lost a lot of friends and relatives in the last couple of years, and it seems like a lot of people just in the last week, to be honest. And certainly the event at Newtown, it just kind of is like an exclamation point on that, even though none of us here know any of those people. you know, there were so many young children that were killed, and you know, I think it affects almost everyone in some way. So I think I do want to talk about it. And so please forgive me if you don't want to hear about this. But I want to talk about it. So that's what I'm going to do. First of all, I do want to say that I have felt sadness. I feel sadness right now. And I also want to say I'm okay with that. You know, I don't know. I don't have any feelings of guilt or any judgment about feeling sad. It's funny. I don't think I'm sad for the children who were shot. I don't know what death is like. But I seem to have a strong sense that there is no suffering in death. And so because of that strong sense that there's no suffering in death, I don't, my sadness isn't for the children who are dead. I feel like, you know, whatever their experience is now, I feel like it's okay. I really do.
Hey, Jamie.
Yeah, my sadness is for the parents, for the families, for the people who are very close to this and do not know how to comprehend it. And then on a bigger note, my sadness is for, I'm just going to say, the entire nation. For people who watch these kinds of things seem to happen over and over again and have no way of understanding them and want them to stop, and have no way of knowing how to solve that issue. And in fact, in the last few days, both in watching Facebook and in watching the news, I have seen many things blamed. I have seen, of course, mental illness blamed. Lack of gun control blamed. I have seen I've seen sin blamed. The Westboro Baptist Church seems to blame the fact that the people of Connecticut are not in harmony with God's laws. You know, gays are accepted. I don't know if Connecticut particularly allows gay marriage, but you know, we put up with gays in our presence. Abortion is another thing. We put up with abortion in our presence. And therefore, God is punishing us by taking our children. I've seen this blamed. I've seen the politicians blamed. I have seen one speaker on the news say that, you know, the politicians set the example in the recent election with all of their fighting and all of their anger, and that people are just, you know, following their lead. What else has been blamed? I can't even remember. I've seen so many things blamed, I can't even keep track. But I'll tell you what, I'm reminded of a sentence in A Course in Miracles, and I think that's what I really want to talk about. And I want to talk about it with you guys. I want to talk about it with you guys. Oh yeah, TV shows, thank you, Barb. TV shows like Criminal Minds have been blamed. Of course, the games, the violent games have been blamed. Thank you. Those are some other things that have been blamed. And of course, you know, because these things are blamed, people then want to fix these things. They want to change the gun laws. They want to, if you're from Westboro Baptist Church, you want to illegalize abortion and, I don't know, kill the gay people. I don't know what we're going to do with them. You know, we want to illegalize the video games. We want to, you know, censor TV, depending on what we blame. But like I said, I have one sentence from A Course in Miracles in mind. And that sentence is this. A miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. That's what I want to talk about, is that sentence. A miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. Cheryl said she talked about that too. I'm sure I'm just a review of what you said, Cheryl. The first thing I want to point out about that sentence is the word miracle worker. Right? It's really calling a person who accepts the atonement for themselves a miracle worker. Now, we all are students of A Course in Miracles or similar spiritualities. In fact, the 7 steps to awakening that I typically teach during this time period, and I may get to it tonight, I don't know, but the 7 steps to awakening is the same. NTI is the same. And what they all teach and what we all know is that the world is a projection of our mind. Now, one thing that NTI says pretty clearly is that the world is not a reflection of the individual mind. The individual mind itself is a projection of the mind. So from our perspective, we might say that the world is a reflection of our mind. Meaning, you know, all of us together as one mind. The world is a reflection or a projection of our mind. And so, yeah, the collective mind is a great symbol. That is a symbol. There's no such thing as a collective mind, but it's a perfect symbol for us, and so we're going to use it. So, if I was blaming something in the world, let's just talk about my personality first, and we're going to use me as an example here. If I was blaming something in the world, I would probably first place, and with compassion, blame mental illness. I would be most likely to say that the real cause of this is mental illness. I would also say it would be great if there were tighter gun control laws. It would be great if we didn't have violent games and violent TV shows. I think that would be great. But primarily, Regina would say, the cause is mental illness. And I'm certain that I can find people that agree with me. But when I say that the cause of this was mental illness, I'm wrong. Mental illness is an effect. It's a projection. Remember, the individual mind is a projection of our mind. So the seeming mental illness is an effect. It's not a cause. And where we get messed up when events like this happen and we're affected by them and we're just like everyone else, we don't want these things to happen. You know, what person with any sanity at all would want these kinds of things to happen, right? So we want to see these things stop happening. But then we get confused and we start blaming effects like gun laws and mental illness and violent TV shows and games and you know, other effects. And we say if we fix those effects, then we won't have this problem anymore. And that's just not true. That's just not true. And those of us who are listening to this right now, we have enough spiritual education to know that, but we forget. And we slip into blaming effects as if they're the cause. I had a conversation with someone earlier today and I was explaining this perspective. And then this person said to me, yeah, but what do you really think we need to change in the world in order so this won't happen again? I just wanted to go right back there. Right, let's go right back there. Okay, that's great, Regina. It's a reflection of our mind. Yep, I get that. Okay, now what do you think? Gun laws or... What do you think? It's like this. We just want to go back so easily to that. What if we, those of us who are educated in this, what if we choose to start being those miracle workers who accept the atonement for ourselves? What if we decide that what this really means is that we need to ramp up our own careful mind watching. We need to be more careful that we don't do things like slip into blaming gun laws or gays or politicians or video games or mental illness. We need to remember what the true cause of this is and not slip back into having cause and effect reversed. One of the things that I teach over and over and over and over again, over and over and over again, and I've taught it when I'm teaching A Course in Miracles, I've taught it when I teach the 7 Steps to Awakening, I've taught it when I teach NTI, is that seeing-believing loop. You remember that? Can you guys recite that? What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. Now what happens in that last step, what I experience, I think, that's where cause and effect get reversed. So I experience, in my case through the news, a man with mental illness going into an elementary school and shooting a bunch of children. And I start thinking there's got to be a way to diagnose these guys before this happens. It's happening too many times. There's got to be a way to, you know, these guys all have a similar profile, right? They all have a similar profile. They're all loners. They're all extremely bright. They're all gamers. They you know, socially don't seem to mix well with others. There's got to be a way for us to find these guys first and get them the help they need. Right there, I got cause and effect mixed up. What I experience, I think about. And then the loop continues. What I think, I see, which means perceive. What I perceive, I experience. What I experience, I think. And you know what? We are right there, caught up in that loop that projects outward this world with these heartbreaking scenarios like this one that just happened with all of these children being shot. Miracle workers. Miracle workers are people who have made a decision based on an understanding that the world is a projection of the mind. They have decided to watch their own mind without forgetting that the world is a projection of the mind. They have decided to clean up their own mind, allow their own mind to be purified. Sometimes we call that healed. But they have decided not to forget. So that when they're watching TV and they see a story about a bunch of children being shot and their first thought that comes into their mind is, why do we have guns like that, right, in this country? Their next thought is, there's an error thought. Right there, I'm getting cause and effect mixed up. I choose to let go of that. I choose to step back in the space of the heart, right? And then later on, they're watching some news story, and they hear about the Westboro Baptist Church who say that these people, this was God that did this because these people, you know, accept gays. And you think, who the hell are those people at that church? And then the next thought is, there I go again. I just now got cause and effect mixed up. I just started thinking that the projection was a part of the problem without seeing that the problem is right here in my own mind. As my experience is, at least so far, these thoughts show up. I had a reaction when I read about the Westboro Baptist Church. A judgment flew right out. And then I saw it and I took it back. Right? I had the thought that mental illness was the cause, the primary cause of this. I saw that. And then I took it back. The miracle workers' only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. I'm hopping over to YouTube. I'm going to play a song for you guys. This is a song that I actually plan to post tomorrow as my Christmas song. Let me see if I can. Here's the version I want. And tomorrow when I post it on my page, you might really want to watch it, because then you can actually see the video, and the video is pretty moving. But right now, if you can, just listen to these words. This is Amy Grant is the singer. The song is My Grown-Up Christmas List. Listen to these words, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this same theme. So we have a commercial for 13 seconds, counting down, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and just to let you know, they want you to do your Christmas shopping at Nordstrom's. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Barb is mentioning that there was a few days ago, just a little bit before the Newtown event, that there was a shooting in a mall in Oregon, and a few people were killed there. Actually, one of the things I saw last night on the news was they listed all of the shootings like this that have happened in the last year. Now, I don't watch the news all the time. I knew certainly about the shooting in the theater at the Batman premiere here in Colorado. but they talked about several shootings in schools and coffee shops and you name it. You name it from this year alone. I'm fed up, and I think a lot of people are fed up. And I think that's good, actually. You know, if you know anything about Prince Siddhartha became fed up immediately. He, as you know, he lived within the palace grounds, and he only saw things beautiful. He only saw health. He only saw abundance. But then, you know, there was this day when he was able to get outside and go walking around a little bit, and he saw poverty, he saw illness, he saw old age, and he immediately became fed up. So fed up that he left his great life to find the answer: how do you end this suffering? Michael Langford, in the book The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, says that in order to awaken, we have to really, 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 really want it. And he says that one of the ways to help you increase your desire to awaken is to look at the suffering in the world. He says that the ego doesn't really want you to see it. The ego wants us to be like Buddha inside of the palace, looking at only the healthy and the beautiful and the abundant. It doesn't want us to look at the suffering. And so what happens is we do see the suffering. Like I think we've all seen and felt to some degree the suffering this weekend. But it's going to be forgotten. And you know that as well as I do. Time is going to go on. Other news stories are going to take over. And it's going to be forgotten. Because the ego doesn't want us to stay looking at it. The ego wants us to see the world as a good place, a fun place, a place with potential. So that we don't focus on awakening. Now, the interesting thing is when Buddha, Prince Siddhartha, at that point, decided to find the end of suffering, he never forgot his purpose. He never lost track of his purpose, and he reached what we call enlightenment. And that's really what I want to ask us to do. I want to just ask us, those of us who are hearing this, to volunteer for everyone, for the entire world as we perceive it, not to forget our purpose. And I do mean to the point that we don't get caught up in believing that the cause of the problems is in the world. We don't get caught up in believing that guns are the problem, mental illness is the problem, sin is the problem, and God's revenge, you know, video games are the problem, TV shows are the problem. Because that's distracting us so that we don't remember our purpose. That's getting us pulled into the world again and keeping us, for lack of better words, a part of the problem. Whenever we believe the effect is the cause, we're continuing the what I think, I see, what I see, I experience, I think loop. We're continuing the seeing, believing loop. And as we continue the seeing, believing loop, we are a part of the problem. Even if America could find some way of ending these random shootings in malls and coffee shops and schools, post offices, some other problem is just going to show up. If the mind isn't healed, purified, carefully watched, if we don't step up to the plate and be the miracle workers who accept the atonement for ourselves, even if a problem gets resolved, another problem is going to pop up. For every war that ends, there's another war. For every disease that's healed, there's a new disease. Come on, you guys know this. We can't go out there and change gun laws and end violence. We can't even heal mental illness and end the problems of the world. The world will just find another way to have problems if we don't heal our minds. And I know it's easy to forget. I understand that. But I do think we can be more committed. You know, the song we were just listening to, the Christmas song we were just listening to, My Grown-Up Christmas Wish, you know, what she asks for in that song are things that we probably all want. You know, she said, no more lives torn apart, right? No more wars. I want everyone to have a friend. I want right to always win. I want love to never end. We all want that. But what our spirituality teaches us is if we want that, we do something about it. And what we do is watch our own mind. What we do is be very, very careful about what we allow ourselves to believe, what thoughts we allow ourselves to follow. That's what we do. And I know you've heard me say this so many times. This is just an opportunity for me to say it one more time. We're never doing that. We're never fulfilling our role of accepting the atonement for ourselves if we blame anyone or anything. It's impossible to blame and accept the atonement for yourself simultaneously. So whenever we forget and we blame, we're forgetting our purpose. In fact, the idea, the thought of blame showing up in my mind should really just be like a little alarm clock waking me up to watching my mind again. Like I said, I saw thoughts. Mental illness is the problem. Sometimes we even see the thoughts and we hear ourselves say it. You know, we're sitting there watching TV and we turn to the person next to us and say, well, you know what caused this was mental illness. It's okay that we said it, but let's wake up to it the second that we say it. Oh, wait a minute. I just did it. I just did it. I just believed my experience. I take that back. The cause is in my mind. I take that back. The cause is in my mind. And that's all you got to do. And then go back to being just the open, empty space. You know, one thing that America is suffering with, as you know, is trying to understand. You can't understand. I don't remember if it's NTI or if it's A Course in Miracles or if it's both, but one or both of them tell us that in the effort to understand, what we're doing is we're getting involved in the thinking about it again. So if you're really going to step back and be the open space, you also have to let go of the desire to understand. Understanding is not necessary. I also want to say that I've been very impressed by some of what I've seen as I've watched the news. For example, there was a school teacher who, you know, once the shooting started, she had a bathroom in her classroom. I guess it was one of those little like one toilet type bathrooms. It's very small, but she had a bathroom in her classroom. So she got all of the kids into the bathroom. They said she even had to help some of the kids into this toilet. In order for them to all fit in there, some of the kids had to literally stand in the toilet or else they wouldn't have fit. She got everybody in there. She closed the door and she locked it. But that's not what I'm impressed with. What I'm impressed with is what she said next. She said to those kids, if you believe in the power of prayer, pray. If you don't believe in the power of prayer, think positive thoughts. What that says to me is that our mind is awakening. I mean, I have no idea what that teacher's spirituality was, but there was something in her that knew the mind is connected to the event. And what we need to do right now while we're hiding in this bathroom is we need to watch our minds right this second. That impresses me. I saw one of the commentators on the news, the same kind of thing. He was upset. He was probably feeling the same emotion I'm feeling right now, actually. That's what I imagine. And he looks right at the camera and he says, "What we have to do, America, is start thinking positive thoughts." You know? I was like, wow, I can't believe he just said that. He didn't say, "What we have to do, America, is get better gun control." "What we have to do, America, is figure out how to heal mental illness." He said, "What we have to do is start thinking positive thoughts." Then I saw another commentator say to someone had said something about what they were going to do. I don't even remember what the person was going to do, but the commentator that was interviewing the person, talking to the person, says, "You can't give in to your fear. Fear is what we have to let go of." You know, I've heard these little sentences throughout the weekend. Now that impresses me, because you know what that says to me? That says that this light is spreading in our one mind. Possibly even people who aren't as conscious that they're on this path as we supposedly are. They may not be as conscious about it as we are, but that the same ideas are showing up for them. We have to let go of fear, right? We have to, they're calling it think positive thoughts, but that's pointing in the right direction, right? Think only the thoughts of love, only thoughts of trust, right? What we would say is only the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. It impressed me that I heard these things this weekend. Now, if we want to continue to be impressed in that direction, we help it along. How do we help it along? Not by going out there and preaching. We don't want to be like the Westboro Baptist Church and start picketing people, telling them to think positive thoughts. We want to go back to that one sentence in A Course in Miracles. One sentence is all we need. We want to be the miracle worker by being willing to accept the atonement for ourselves. The better we get at letting go of fear, the better we get at letting go of judgment, the better we get at only thinking the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, the more that's going to spread. The more people we're going to hear saying it on the news, right? The more people are going to catch on miraculously. Why are they catching on miraculously? Because we, the miracle workers, are doing what we're supposed to do. We're accepting the atonement for ourselves. Now, I know that sometimes I do a really good job of watching my own mind, and sometimes I don't. I even know which situations I'm least effective in. I'm least effective in watching my own thoughts with the people I live with. I relax around them in a way that isn't helpful. I relax and I watch the news and I say, mental illness is the cause of that, to them. I would never say that when teaching, because when I'm teaching, I'm more aware. So the place where I need to become personally more responsible is in the situation where I'm most relaxed, most not responsible, actually, with my own family. I wouldn't be surprised with many of you if that wasn't the same place. But I also know a place where I stay pretty responsible that I know a lot of people don't, because I see it, and that's Facebook. I see all kinds of opinions thrown around Facebook. Why do we get into Facebook and become so relaxed that we don't watch our minds? I don't know, but that's another place for some of us. What are we liking on Facebook? Where are we commenting on Facebook? And why are we not as diligent on Facebook as we might be when we're teaching, for example. A line that I think Lynn Johnson says from time to time. I think I hear it there. I think Lisa Natoli also says it from time to time. Teddy definitely says it from time to time. Teddy Poppy. It's not a line I think I've ever quoted, but I'm about to quote it now for the first time. The line is, "Are you ready to help me save the world?" I think there's a yet in there. Isn't there a yet in there, Lynn? I think you quote it. "Are you ready to help me save the world yet?" I think. Yes, are you ready to help me save the world yet? Why don't we go ahead and say yes? Yes, I am. And I understand what you mean when you ask me that. What you mean is, will I be more vigilant in watching my own mind? Will I stay vigilant even with my family? Will I stay vigilant even on Facebook? I understand what you're asking, and yes, I will. Why? Well, part of it is because I am fed up. I am fed up. I cry when these people cry. A part of why I cry is because I understand they don't understand, and I understand that they're hurting and they're confused and they don't know their way out. And I accept that. I don't resist it, I accept it. But I turn it around and I look at me and I say, what can you do about this? And the answer is, I can be more diligent, more vigilant, more careful. I can do better at not forgetting my purpose. All right, maybe it's time for another song. Let's see. Let's see what other songs we have here that might be fitting for now. As you know, all of the songs on my Facebook page right now are Christmas songs. I do have a Hanukkah song because today is the last day of Hanukkah. Okay, here's a song. This song's good. This song is called Joseph's Song. And in this particular song, this is Joseph, the father of Jesus, or some people might call him the stepfather of Jesus, since that's believed that Jehovah God was the father. What Joseph is saying in this song is he's saying, you know, I'm just a humble carpenter. That's all I've ever been. How am I supposed to raise a king? How am I supposed to raise the Son of God? Well, maybe some of us are saying, you know, I'm just a blank, blank, blank. How am I supposed to be so vigilant at watching my mind? How am I supposed to be a miracle worker? How am I supposed to help Jesus or Holy Spirit or the universe or the oneness save the world? Okay, so that's what Joseph is asking in this song. So why don't we listen to Joseph and then we'll look at the answer to the question. And we'll see if we have another commercial or not. Nope.
Baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know He's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bones. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be Father to the Son of God. Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said.
So, you know, the question is, how can I help you save the world? Or how can I be so diligent in watching my mind when I, you know, maybe live with a family who doesn't think this way, or I work a job where they don't think this way? You know, I'm going to go to work tomorrow and everybody's going to be talking about gun control or whatever they're going to talk about. You know, how do I not do that? How do I not get involved? And I think the answer is simple. I think the answer is you just simply say yes. Yes to, are you ready to help me save the world yet? You say yes, and then you don't forget your yes. You just don't forget your yes. If you have to, you leave notes for yourself that just say, remember, I said yes. You know? If you have to, you pray 2 or 3 times a day. Maybe, you know, pray morning, noon, and night. And you make sure it's a part of every prayer that you say, and once again, I want to say yes. Not that, you know, God or the universe needs to hear your yes over and over again, but you do. Now, I know that there's room for me to improve. And I also know that I don't need any of you to say yes in order for me to say yes. But when I look at you guys, what I see are people who have the exact same heart that I do right now. We're not really interested in being full-fledged members of the world anymore like we used to be. We are people who have heard the call to be miracle workers. We are people who have heard the call to awaken to truth. And that's what we want. And so when I ask you to say yes with me, a big part of the reason I ask you to say yes is because I know you want to. You could say I'm just the reflection of your own heart. I'm asking you to say yes to what you want. But another reason that I ask you to say yes is it just seems like if we can do it together, somehow there's more strength in it or a greater light in it. a brighter star shining. It also just feels wonderful to say yes with you. It feels really good to say yes with you. And so this is why I ask you to say it with me, to say yes, 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 I understand. I am ready to save the world. And I do think it's okay if you're crying about what happened this weekend, or if you are crying about the mall because that was closer to you, or if you're crying about the wars in the Middle East. I saw that there was something that happened in Iraq today. I didn't fully catch it. I think it's okay to cry. Because again, I think it's the ego that doesn't want us to look at the suffering. It's the ego that wants us to turn our head and say, nope, I don't want to look at it. Because you know what? If I can remain in denial about the suffering, I'm not going to be as motivated to watch my mind. But if we don't deny the suffering, if we look at these parents, and being parents ourselves, we allow ourselves to empathize with them, not to the point, not the false empathy, where we go into the story and start fighting for gun control, but just the understanding of the heartache. Just look at it, really look at it, and then say, but I understand the real cause. And I understand it's right back here in my mind. And allow that empathy to motivate us to be truly better miracle workers. I feel done. I think I still have around a few minutes. Is there anyone else that would like to take the mic for a second and say something? I'd be very happy to pass it on. Just put up your hand. Well, I love you guys. And I know that you're saying yes with me right now. I can feel it. I'm actually crying for another reason now. Now my heart is all lit up with these yeses that I feel. And I'm very, very happy about that. And let's keep this commitment, okay? You could say it's the least we could do. All right, I'm releasing the mic. Thank you. I'll see you guys tomorrow and we'll do 7 steps. Bye.